Activists along the Mexican border say they're saving lives, and now they're being targeted by the Trump administration for their work and their activism. Joining me this morning to talk about it are Michelle Marisco of KJZZ's Fronteras Desk and the Arizona Republic's border reporter, Rafael Carranza. Welcome to you both. Michelle, paint us a picture here. How many people do both humanitarian aid groups and the Border Patrol rescue in the desert in any given year?
The Border Patrol estimates that it has rescued about 700 people just out of the Arizona desert. Groups like No More Deaths, and keeping in mind that they're actually doing a lot of work now in urban areas with legal representation and whatnot, but they have fielded about 500 phone calls from people who were reported lost ones and have assisted those people over the past, say, year and a half. Mm-hmm. So all told, there's been several thousand people that have been pulled out of the desert, primarily by the U.S. Border Patrol, but a not insignificant number by groups like No More Deaths.
And I'll add to that, you know, the No More Deaths doesn't keep a good number of statistics, and that's kind of intentional. They don't want they don't want to publicize these kinds of numbers, but they do say that they've seen a lot more recently. And as they've expanded their efforts into other parts of the Arizona desert, then naturally that brings them into contact with a lot more migrants as well.
What sort of compatibility has there been, if any, between the Border Patrol and these humanitarian groups? Has there been maybe a more of a hands-off approach? Has there been a gentleman's agreement of sorts?
I would call it a gentleman's agreement, and I'm going to go back to last summer because I put this question straight to the Border Patrol in June. This is when four people were arrested at a No More Deaths camp south of Tucson. I asked the Border Patrol, what is your policy when it comes to surveilling and keeping tabs on Humane Borders water stations, No More Deaths aid camps? The official answer then was, we do not surveil humanitarian aid camps. Then I read a criminal complaint that was written in the U.S. District Court in this case. Mm-hmm. And number two, and Rafael can corroborate this, there were, what, two agents?
Yeah, two agents, along with Pima County deputies. And so they were doing surveillance on this building that was known, in the city of Ajo for providing aid to migrants. So it's kind of contradictory in a way. And this is something that it's a question that's kind of been central for many, many years, because this is not the first arrest of humanitarian volunteers. And it's just kind of the question that it goes back to is, you know, what's kind of allowed and what's not. And then within that question as well, the sub question is, what does Border Patrol think about that? And kind of the for humanitarians, they say that there's some sort of understanding and that they've used this latest arrest as a kind of violation of that understanding. But it goes back to some of the other arrests as well, where they say that, you know, in some of these cases they were dismissed or the convictions were overturned. And they cite that saying that, you know, it was an understanding that they would be able to provide help for migrants without being prosecuted.
This also falls, the arrest of Mr. Warren happened within, 8 hours of No More Deaths coming out to show video of Border Patrol agents destroying water supplies and aid supplies that were left out in the desert. The organization has taken somewhat of a militant approach. They were on Twitter calling for the abolition of the U.S. Border Patrol and calling on CBP to just disband the agency. All of this is happening in this climate of increasing tension and an escalation of rhetoric and responses and reaction by both the agencies and the organization.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is that they both claim to be working for the same purpose, which is to save lives. Border Patrol in one way, the humanitarian groups like No More Deaths in another. And so the big point of contention is how they go about that. And that's why we have, we see situations like the one from last week with the arrests of Warren, what's the limit of humanitarian aid and how much are they truly helping, given that their policies and their enforcement priorities have shifted?
It may be impossible to make a blanket statement on this, but is there a feeling among Border Patrol agents, you two have covered the border, you know the border, that Border Patrol agents have a personal feeling about this kind of thing? Are many agents, I mean, obviously they have to do what the policy is, but is there a feeling that there's a number of agents that feel like, okay, that I'm okay with that being hands off, and others who are more aggressive?
I have encountered, for example, BorStar, Border Patrol's search, trauma, and rescue agents, who are actually on good relationships with some of the volunteers. Mm-hmm. I have been out with BorStar agents who have pointed out Humane Borders water stations and how they make a pointed effort to leave them alone. That said, you know, they're some of these videos that No More Death was showing of Border Patrol agents purposefully pouring out water. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to, you know, an agent's responsibility, and they have their task is a very difficult one. They do have to make a lot of decisions. There's a lot of risk associated with their job. And so I think that the approach for each agent varies a lot depending on where they're at, what they're doing. And there's just so many variables. And so I think given that there's so much, you know, so many differences within that, there's going to be a lot of differences in thought and in reaction as well, because you do have a lot of agents who are very friendly with humanitarian groups, who are you know, cordial with a lot of the militias that are also patrolling in the border and whatnot. But then you have other ones who take a more hardline approach. You know, they're there to enforce the law. So there's a lot of variety there. And I kind of feel that we've seen that the Border Patrol itself doesn't really have an approach or, you know, a way to behave. Like, they really encourage more of, you know, the kind of analyze the situation and you know, act as you feel accordingly. But they don't really dictate how they should behave.
And some of that goes back to simple pride. You know, I've also run into some of these same Border Patrol search, trauma, and rescue agents who are fairly annoyed with humanitarian aid groups because they themselves feel that they are going after smugglers. You know, they look at saving lives as a prosecutorial matter of chase down the coyotes, chase down the polleros, prosecute these guys and rescue people from the desert so that hopefully they never do this again. It's a very different mentality. And there is a lot of pride, you know, and so there is a lot of feeling of these folks getting in our way, making our job harder, making it more difficult. And, you know, one of the issues that I noticed in this criminal complaint was this whole notion of this barn that had been set up and was and is an existing place for people to not only receive help, but offer it. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I'm a little surprised that the Border Patrol hadn't been surveilling this place even longer.
So bottom line, has there been a policy shift under the Trump administration to be more aggressive toward these humanitarian groups?
I would say that this is a struggle that humanitarians have faced under both Republican and Democratic administrations. We've seen hurdles, you know, even, you know, in years past, access into the Barrier-Goldwater Range, into some of the wildlife refuges. There's a couple of the volunteers who have been banned from there. You know, there's people who've been arrested for littering and whatnot. What is interesting about this administration, though, is that you have someone like Jeff Sessions leading the Attorney General's office, who has a very hardline immigration approach, and you have someone like Trump who has called and advocated for stronger enforcement measures. It's kind of like the first big test for his administration about how they will approach this topic, which, you know, is very controversial. But it'd be interesting just to see how this case plays out, just because it is the first one that kind of is like a test for the administration.
Going back in history a little bit, the U.S. Attorney's Office under President Obama and under President George Bush tried to prosecute these cases. And in the first case, a federal judge tossed it. Mm-hmm. And in the second case, it was a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned the decision. So this isn't to say that federal prosecutors in Arizona at some point were more lenient. They tried to take these cases to the wall. Mm-hmm. In this case, they're already asking Mr. Warren, the defendant, to take a plea agreement. And this is the second incident with this gentleman. Last June, he was found out at Cabeza Preta National Wildlife Refuge, not by the Border Patrol, but by refuge officers who said he did not have a permit. He did not have permission to be out there leaving out supplies. They're thinking it's a totally different issue. But related to this is that a water station is one water barrel on a trail. A collection of food and aid and supplies is, they call it, personal property that you've abandoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that I think the previous case along those lines in 2008 with a volunteer who left those water gallons, the ruling as it stands in that particular case kind of leaves the option open to prosecute under these guidelines. In that particular case, the decision was overturned in the Ninth Circuit, but mm-hmm. you know, it does kind of allow the federal officials and authorities at these wildlife refuges to kind of move forward with these types of charges.
Arizona Republic border reporter Rafael Carranza and Michelle Marisco from KJZZ's Fronteras Desk. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.